When he steps out to face the Italians later today in the Aviva, he will play his final home game for Ireland, and he'll also become the most capped international player. I'm talking about Ireland's sort of main guy, Mr. Brian O'Driscoll, the legendary centre, the man they call Bod, on the phone now to talk about the career of one of Ireland's greatest sportsmen and to try and get into some kind of perspective is RT Radio's rugby commentator Michael Corcoran and rugby analyst Brent Pope. Michael and Brent, you're very welcome to the programme. Let's jump straight in because by the way, Michael, what time is the kickoff? Is it 2? Half 2?
Half past two, indeed.
Yeah, it's not his last game, most likely, but it's his last game at home. So, Michael, at what stage did you realise that O'Driscoll was in a class of his own? And I'm assuming you agree with me that he is.
Yeah, he is. I was actually quade fortunate, Dave, to be in Stade de France the day that Ireland played France, and he got the hat-trick that day. So it was like, I'd heard of this kind of wonder kid, for want of a better phrase, bursting on the scene over a period of time. And then in the Stade de France that day, when he got the hat-trick, I mean, that was just really, really special.
Hold on a second, Michael. I can go back further than that. I saw him play for Blackrock College when they didn't get to the final. They were beaten by Clongos in the quarterfinal. That's way back in 96, 97, or whatever it was, 80, whatever. So hold on a second now. Wait a minute. I can go back further. Brent, can you go back that far?
No, but I can actually go back to... Not that I had anything to do with Brian's illustrious career, but I actually coached him for a period there. Myself and a guy from Lansdowne, Willie Dawson, had him in a Leinster A side way back. I think we played a game against Morocco. And interesting enough, my father was over visiting at the time, and he had a great eye for talent. And he looked at me after the game and he said, I tell you what, he said, that guy O'Driscoll, I don't know where he is, but he said, he's a great in the making. And that was before he'd even played even for Leinster. And I remember myself and Willie Dawson went back to Mike Ruddock and said, look, you've got to have a look at this kid. He's really something special. Not that I have anything to do whatsoever with his career. But I think for me, as far as being a New Zealander, as far as when he really announced his talent on a world stage was when he scored that try against the Lions in Australia on his first Lions tour, which was just an amazing try. Suddenly people in New Zealand and Australia sat up and thought, you know, this guy's something special.
Right. Okay, well, now, hold on, Michael. I want to go back to you for this one here because, like, you know, people outside of rugby, but you can point to anything he's done in terms of tries and all the rest of it. But, like, let's just take 2 points. Number one would be, what makes a great player? I mean, a lot of things come together at the one time, a perfect storm, Brian O'Driscoll right now, whether he is the greatest of all time or not in terms of Irish rugby. But what is it, a rounded player? Is it not just one thing? For instance, like, what's more important? Is it better to be tough no matter what part of the field you're playing on, or is it sometimes if you're playing on a certain part of the field better to be slippery as an eel?
I'd say probably the first one. And I mean, you see, the thing about Brian, to be fair to him, over the years, he just makes the difficult things look really simple, and he does the simple and difficult things really, really well. And I mean, the guy just oozes class, you know, in everything that he's done on the pitch. He's always been a leader. He was captain for a hell of a long time, but he was the person that everybody followed into the trenches. And, like, even if you're not involved in rugby or you don't understand the game or you don't follow the game, the vast majority of people in world of sport have heard of Brian O'Driscoll. And that's just because of the person that he is and the impact that he's had on the lives of people, certainly on the rugby pitch and off the rugby pitch. And, I mean, he's a quality guy on the pitch, but off the pitch, you know, the amount of work that he does for, you know, Temple Street Hospital and various charities like that is unheralded, really. And he's just a quality individual.
Okay, well, let's go back a little bit. Isn't it true that he came pretty late to rugby? It wasn't actually something he had a major burning ambition for.
No, yes, you're right. No, he hadn't. I mean, he was, you know, he played a bit of Gaelic football, like all good Irish fellas in the early days growing up. And I mean, it's incredible, actually, even just looking at the kind of Twitter over the last week or 10 days, the number of photographs that are you know, there's one on this morning from Clontarf Rugby Club of him sort of in the back of a group of fellas with a trophy. I don't know what age it is. It looks as if they're about all 12 or 13 in the photographs. Everybody's got their own special individual memories of the fella. Yes, late coming to rugby. I think, and you being been an authority on Black Rock will tell you, or you'd be able to tell me, that, you know, wasn't there some game where he wasn't even picked for the starting team and he was on the replacements bench?
Well, first of all, I don't think he ever even got as far as the semi-final. I could be wrong with that. He did. He did captain the team, I think, around the mid-90s at some stage, all right. But he didn't actually even get that far. And in fact, if I may, is it next Monday week Rock are going to be playing Clongos in the final? It's the same.
It's actually on the Sunday.
Anyway, look, let's just take a look then. I want to ask you, Brent, about this. We're saying that Brian O'Driscoll is the most gifted, right? And he's also, as we know, the most iconic. This is a very unfair question. Is he the most iconic because he's the most gifted?
No, I don't think so. And I kind of disagree that he kind of, he took the captaincy that easily. I think, you know, unlike a guy like Paul O'Connell or something, who just seemed to be natural. I think the greatest thing that stands out for me about Brian as a player and as a man probably is that he's reinvented himself. You know, he's had such longevity in the game. There's a lot of players that have come on and been great for 3 or 4 years, 5 years max, but he's been there at the coalface for nearly 15 or 16 years. And the fact that he kind of probably lost his top-end pace maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but then he reinvented himself to probably become the best defensive back that possibly the world has ever seen. The question that's asked me is he the greatest Irish rugby player? Certainly the greatest I've seen. I mean, I can't go back like George to Jackie Kyle or to Mike Gibson and those players. So certainly that. Where does he fit on the world scale? Certainly in the echelon of world players and alongside the greatest. But I think it's his ability to reinvent his game. No, I think the iconic thing, you know, I mean, he's worked extremely hard as talented. He started off as an out half actually, but so he's just worked incredibly hard on polishing his talents.
And were you surprised, Brent, when he was dropped from the Lions test squad that time?
Yeah, I still think that was a huge mistake. Yes, Warren Gatland, actually, I was speaking at a function yesterday and people asked me that question, being a fellow Kiwi, and I think Warren Gatland was completely wrong at that stage. Yes, he's justified in the sense that he can say, well, look, the Lions won, but to not use a player like that in a sort of iconic, you talked about that word before, in a role like that, I would have had him on the bench. Yes, Gatlin was quite free to say, look, I don't think you're in the starting 15. That was his call. But he should have had Brian on the bench because effectively he alienated not only the Irish public that were out there, because I was out there on a tour and I just saw what it meant. Some people didn't even want to go to the game because Brian wasn't involved. So he took a risk of alienating the Irish public and also alienating Brian O'Driscoll within the squad. Now, Brian's not that type of guy, but, you know, it was a huge risk. Yes, Gatlin got away with it, and he'll say, look, you know, the ends justify the means, but I still think that he should have given Brian the dignity to run out on that match.
Yeah, but there is a thing also, like there were 10 Welshmen were selected at that time too. That annoyed people as well. But don't forget, you're not a Welshman, you're not an Irishman, a Scottish or English, you're a Lions person when you're Lions, and that's just the way it is. But let's just go on to something else. I'm just trying to look at what it is that, like, I think it's a perfect storm to just put him where he is. Everybody likes the guy. I mean, everybody thinks he's absolutely one of the nicest guys around. So Michael, you know, he's very respected as well. What, you've met him. Does he have charisma? Does he have star quality? What is it? I mean, I haven't used the word Beckham yet, but I might get there.
Well, I mean, David Beckham is nothing to Brian O'Driscoll, to be fair about it. I haven't met David Beckham. I've met Brian O'Driscoll and spoken to him on
I'm just talking about a kind of a figurehead for the whole thing.
No, he does. He's just a classy, as I said. I mean, you know, even with the charity work he does, he's just a classy individual. And he just oozes charisma. And, you know, I mean, you could see, you know, he already does some work as a brand ambassador for various companies, and you can see him just fitting into that scene and fitting onto that stage.
And for this last year for him, do you think Joe Schmidt has been very important to that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been a trust and a really good working relationship that's been built up between Brian and Joe Schmidt since Joe took over as the Leinster coach. I'm not sure that Brian would have played on for this final year if somebody else had been in charge. So, yeah. I mean, that just goes to show how important Joe Schmidt has been to the
Let's just take a look at
career.
This. I mean, if Brian O'Driscoll epitomised the spirit that took us through the dark days of the downturn, anybody else coming up in Irish rugby who could possibly match him, or could that storm happen with somebody else?
Gosh, that's a hard question. I suppose you look at maybe the baton being passed on to Well, Jonathan Sexton is another player, you know, who's, I don't want to say coming through, but he's another player who's on the stage at the moment. Peter O'Mahony perhaps is one too, you know, so, but there, they at this moment in time don't have the star quality that Brian O'Driscoll has, and they don't have the top world billing that Brian O'Driscoll has. There's some way to go to achieve that, but possibly there is not that there may be an opportunity for them to announce themselves if you can call it that on the same plateau that Brian is currently at this moment in time.
Okay, and Brent, where would you see that like he might go next? I mean, there's talk in the paper this morning to the fact that Amy's going to be maybe Hollywoodying, that he might do all that and just get away for about a year or so. He has said himself that the idea of watching matches is not something he necessarily wants to do. He completely agrees with the Ronan O'Gara brilliant documentary on TV over Christmas that you grieve the losses more than you celebrate the victories. In other words, you know, on the Sunday he might feel great if he won, but he'd be feeling really bad if he lost until the Wednesday, that kind of thing. So if he does do something else, would you see an IRFU development role, youngsters at school and all that kind of thing, or get away for a year?
Well, he has his own coaching structure now with Brian O'Driscoll kind of coaching clinics. That's a natural, I suppose, way for him to go. But I think it'll be interesting. I'll be talking to Ronan today on the television pitch side. It'll be interesting to see how Brian reacts after this, because it's all very well, I know myself, it's all very well announcing retirement. The day has finally come. This will be his last day in an Irish jersey in the Aviva or Lansdowne Road before that. So it's hard to see how he's going to feel tomorrow. You know, I mean, this is a big drop away from playing in front of 50, 60, 70,000 people week in, week out. So it's going to be how he adjusts to that. I think he's right to take time off the game. It's very hard to go back and watch a game you feel you can still play, I suppose, physically. It's just whether or not his mental side is still there. I think maybe, you know, it would be a good move to go away for a while, because he's still going to be hounded for photos and autographs. He's still want to play that game. But obviously, punditry, as Mike alluded to, he's a great ambassador for a number of countries. So he is like Beckham in that sense. I see him taking a big part in Ireland's push for a World Cup in the next few years. He'll be that sort of Beckhamish figure on that side. But I think he's going to go down with Fáil Carrington as the greatest sportsman in Irish of all times, and that's great coming from a team sport. But if you look at players coming up, I think, you know, Jonathan Sexton, as Michael said, you know, certainly Sean O'Brien is, you know, I'm talking from New Zealand point of view of the players they respect over there that would make a World 15. Sean O'Brien, certainly up there, Rob Kearney. There's a number of players now that Ireland are producing. Maybe they have a long way to go.
Okay, well, listen, it is a huge day. Brent, I presume you're on the telly this afternoon then. Is that what you're saying, yeah?
I am, yeah.
Right, okay. And I presume, Michael, you'll be racing at 100 miles an hour from half two. From, is it two or half two? I forgot what you said.
It's half two.
Half two.
And then that's actually followed by the women's match at 5 o'clock. So you get
you'll be knackered by 7 o'clock. At the speed you go. Well, listen, enjoy it this afternoon. Hope it goes good. And there will be one more, Brian O'Driscoll, won't there, against France in a few weeks, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's next week, yeah. So
this is the
latest from the sort of the last ever series, as I call it.
Right, indeed. Well, listen, thanks a million, guys, for talking to us on the programme, and good luck this afternoon, and enjoy the match. See you.
Thanks,
this is 2FM.